Just do it. Call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Sal Licata back on the fan, 877-337-6666. One quarterback we know is available, Aaron, or at least we think Aaron Rodgers is likely going to be available. And, you know, I think the Jets are doing everything that they can to put themselves in a position to get him. They already hired Nathaniel Hackett, as their offensive coordinator. That's a guy Rodgers clearly is fond of. He said so in the Pat McAfee interview yesterday or 2 days ago now, and talking about how he loves him, makes the room fun, talking about Hackett and the time that they had together, and references family. Those are all things that make you think he'd like to work with him again. So give the Jets credit for putting themselves in a position to be able to potentially land Aaron Rodgers. And if the Packers do decide to move him and Rodgers does approve a trade to the Jets, think about that. Think about it. We've been talking about it for a couple of weeks. I've been thinking about it, but I don't even really feel like I've grasped the enormity of the entire situation. Like, it would be the story here for months and obviously throughout the whole season. Rodgers means that much. He takes them to another level. Gets them in the conversation when you start talking about AFC championships, Super Bowls. Not that I would predict that they would win or get to a Super Bowl, but Rodgers gets them in the conversation. And if the Jets could get that defense a little bit better, obviously have the run game going at a high level behind a solid offensive line, Rodgers can get them there. And, man, just the excitement if they do pull off that move. We're hoping for it. We're anticipating that's going to be the case. Once it actually does happen, and I do expect it to happen at some point, although when things seem obvious, and, well, what could go wrong? Inevitably, something goes wrong. I would be surprised at this point, just based off of trying to read him as an individual, I'd be surprised if Rodgers retires at this point. And I also would be surprised if the Packers kept him. All the signs are pointing for Rodgers to be dealt to the Jets. The only concern I'd have is if Miami gets involved, because I do think that that could be an appealing location for Aaron Rodgers, whether he likes Miami, whether he likes the weapons they have, the history of the team, whatever. That would be the one spot that might concern me a little bit. Other than that, I really do think it's the Jets. Matt is calling from Atlantic City. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, what's up, man?
How are you, Matt?
Yeah, I'm doing good. So I'm just calling about the Jets. I'm calling about the Jets, yeah. So assuming they do get Aaron Rodgers, do you think, obviously he's the first choice, do you think they will become legitimate Super Bowl contenders?
Yes.
Like we look at them in the same conversation as we're mean going into the year. We say Chiefs, Bengals, Buffalo, obviously.
Well, I think the Chiefs and Bengals are going to be on a different level. You know, there are tiers, right? So the Chiefs and Bengals would be on the top tier. And then under that, I think you put the Jets in there with everybody. That includes Buffalo, who might take a little bit of a step back this year, who the Jets beat anyway last year. I think there's Buffalo, Miami, the Jets would be in that conversation. And then you could throw in maybe some others, San Diego. The Chargers you could throw in there. I guess the Ravens maybe you want to put in there. That next level, outside of the two premier teams, the Bengals and the Chiefs, I think the Jets with Rodgers are in that next level, that second tier.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you're handing Rodgers probably the best team that he's ever gotten, like regarding players surrounding him.
Well, I don't know about that.
In a while.
In a while, yes. I mean, I think that the Packers have had okay teams. I do think the Jets are better than what those Packers teams had at the time, if everything goes according to plan. If guys get healthy, whether that's Vera Tucker, Beckton, Breece Hall, I mean, you get all those guys back healthy, and playing together up front, the Jets have weapons. And you add Aaron Rodgers, he's going to make other guys better as well. So, and you mentioned the defense was the strength of this team last year. So I do think all the pieces could be in place for a potentially star-studded team. I mean, Sauce Gardner, star. Garrett Wilson, star. Right. Breece Hall, star. Aaron Rodgers, star. Quinnen Williams, star. I mean, the Jets have big-time players on their roster. If you get Aaron Rodgers here, that to me would be the final piece of what could be a Super Bowl team.
Right. And just last question before I go. If they don't get Rodgers, should they pursue Brady? And if they do get Brady, do they become a Super Bowl contender or close to that? Obviously not as good as Rodgers, but
let me just ask you though, do you think Tom Brady would ever come to the Jets?
Yeah, why not?
Well, I mean, because the Jets, and he was with the Patriots.
It's the Jets, but if they're handing an opportunity to win another Super Bowl, then yeah, for sure.
Well, but think of all the options Brady's going to have. He could go wherever he wants. It's not like Rodgers, who might be limited just to the AFC after the
pack. Yeah, but if you really look at it, Miami and the Jets, I would say should be his top two options in regards to talent.
Well, what about the Niners? What if the Niners need a quarterback?
I didn't take that right, so.
I mean,
if that's the case, then yeah, he would go for the Niners over the Jets,
right? And
he has the advantage of the NFC in that case,
right? I mean, I just feel like I have a hard time. And look, if it weren't for his history with the Patriots and hating the Jets and mocking the Jets, now I'll tell you that would be, and thank you for the call, Matt. A bigger story. The only thing that could trump Rodgers to the Jets would be Brady to the Jets. Would you want that, Fleegs? Diehard Jet fan? I mean, it does. I get why Matt's saying that. It does make sense. I don't think Brady would ever in a million years. I think he'll retire and go beg for Giselle back before he came to the Jets. But it does make sense. Would you want that?
I would fully embrace it because, yes, he makes the Jets a contender. There is nothing in the world of sports that would shock me more than Brady coming to the Jets. I guess the only thing that would shock me more. There is one thing. Belichick coming to the Jets.
Oh, God.
Tom Brady, he might want to stick it to Bill. There's no way he will do that to Robert Kraft. I don't think it's on the table. I mean, Brady, it don't make sense. Forget the Raiders. He's going to sign a one-year deal with the Niners. They're going to go chase a Super Bowl in that NFC.
And then figure out
the Purdy-Lance thing the year after.
He'll win another one. And how great would his last one be with the team that he grew up rooting for?
Exactly.
And all that?
Going back to California, it just makes way too much sense, especially with the way the Niners season ended. It seems obvious.
With that team, they will win the Super Bowl.
With that team, they could go 15-2.
Right. I mean, they could have won the Super Bowl anyway. If the
Niners got Brady before 2020 when the Bucs got him,
they might have won three in a row.
They might have won at least one or two between now and then.
Agreed. That's how loaded they are. I honestly think they could win the Super Bowl with Matt Ryan. That's how good that they are. Look, they could have won it with Brock freaking Purdy this year. They just need something better than Garoppolo.
And even with Garoppolo, they were in the middle of a long winning streak.
Well, I mean, he did bring them to a Super Bowl. I mean, they could have had more, but we're talking about next level. Brady is the perfect fit for them at this point. 1 year, 2 year. Let's see him go out there and go
as a pocket guy to just get the ball to Debo and Kittle and IU and all these guys and let them run around with it. He is such a perfect fit.
McCaffrey, the way they run the football too. Oh my God, their defense. No.
I mean, but look at what Brady did with all these other receivers. Obviously Edelman,
right.
But like Welker, those are better guys. Chris Hogan, what he did with James White coming out of the backfield, Kevin, for all these guys on the Patriots. You give him Christian McCaffrey.
Imagine Brady, though.
And Kittle.
Imagine
and
Brady.
Debo?
Kittle, forget about him.
That's just not fair.
Imagine Brady with the Jets, though.
Listen, Jet fans would embrace it because here's the thing. Even if it didn't work out, we know this. It would bother the Patriot fans forever.
Bother everybody.
The image of him being in a Jets uniform and it not being photoshopped. And forget a Super Bowl. If the Jets beat the Patriots in one regular season game and beat them for the first time in 8 years with Tom Brady at quarterback,
it'd be great.
It'll just unnerve the Patriots fans.
I never gave this much thought, and I've heard other people discuss it, but I've never gave it much thought because there's no way Brady would ever do it. However, it would be the greatest. I mean, you're talking about one of the great all-time New York sports stories.
Listen, I wish he had that jerk in him, because it would be the ultimate troll story if he just said, you know what?
Screw
bleep
it.
You, New England.
We're
and
better.
Bill Belichick it right.
Yeah, the Jets are better. If he comes to the Jets, they're significantly better than New England.
You guys talked all this all Mac Jones stuff for the last 2 years while I was winning a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay.
Right.
Now I'm really going to show you who's better.
Come to the Jets.
You think Belichick is the greatest of all time? Who needed who more?
Offensive line. Got weapons now with Hall and Wilson. Oh, man, that defense.
And he does know this. And maybe hopefully Rodgers
winning
knows
in
it.
Winning in New York.
Brady definitely is aware of it. If somebody came to the Jets and won a Super Bowl, that quarterback is a god in the NFL and New York in a way that just nobody else could. People can't comprehend the treatment that guy will get from Jets fans.
Even with all the respect, and I'm like, Brady's considered by many to be the GOAT, and he could elevate that GOAT status in a way that, I mean, would just be unbelievable. If he, Aaron, I joked about it when he went with the Bucs. Oh, yeah, big deal. You won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. You really want to show us something? You really want to say you're the GOAT? Come to the Jets and turn them into a Super Bowl team. He could do it. It's right there in front of him. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine. Obviously, it's not happening, but it's nice to dream, isn't it?
It's funny because it's so fantasy, but then if you ask me, like, can I imagine Aaron Rodgers? And it's, well,
right.
That one seems like an actual, like, potential reality.
Right.
Like, one of the two is legitimately feasible. The Brady one, as fun as it would be, there's no way in the world.
Right. He just,
maybe I would change my
like
tune
York,
if
though.
San Fran wasn't out there, but he'd be stupid and they'd be stupid to not team up for a year.
Well, if not San Fran, let's paint the picture where San Fran says, no, we're going to stick with Trey Lance or Purdy or whatever. We think Purdy's our guy.
Right. Does Brady love McDaniels enough to go be in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Sean Payton just hired as the Broncos coach?
I don't like that match. I know everybody's drawing the conclusion with McDaniels. And if I'm McDaniels, by the way.
Brady's too smart for that.
Correct. And I think McDaniels at this point wants to build the team his own way.
Right, and you think McDaniels can coach? I don't. Either way, I will say this. He does know that team
cannot
win
right
the Super Bowl next year.
So then why get Brady? He's got to go find
Brady's
his quarterback.
A proposition.
So I don't think it's the Raiders. So give me the team. I mean, does he go to Denver?
Dolphins. Stephen Ross, the Michigan connection.
Are we ruling everybody else out? If the Niners are out, nobody else in the NFC, right? In New Orleans?
It's got to be a team. Again, Brady's smart. It's got to be a team that's close enough to winning.
Yeah, not Washington, obviously. Nobody in the AFC West. I mean,
Washington's not. I mean, it's kind of interesting. I just don't know if Brady.
Right, I don't think they have
a lot of weapons. They have a defense.
No
it's a
Colts.
Tough division, though.
No Colts, right?
I can't see the Colts happening.
Right. So if you're ruling out the Colts, Titans would be maybe the one team outside of the Jets and Dolphins.
And I know Vrabel's there, but again, that team might be like dismantling. How close are they to winning?
So if you're ruling them out, I think it really is either the Niners or the Dolphins. And then if you take the Dolphins out, let's just say the Dolphins say, yeah, that's great. We wanted Brady, but now we found our guy in Tua. I mean, or paint the hypothetical that Aaron Rodgers goes to the Dolphins. I mean, the Jets might be it.
See, I think if the Dolphins had to choose between the two, Brady or Rodgers, I think they would go Brady.
Right. And it might be a better fit for them. And look, the better quarterback at this point, I don't care what anybody says, it's Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, I'd love to see Brady, the story of Brady. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback at this point. You know you're getting 2 years of, and I'm not knocking Brady, but who would you rather have, Fleeks, if you could have both? If both wanted to come here? Aside from the stick it to everybody.
Well, see, Rodgers, I'll say this. Rodgers is better. I'm not going to argue that. Something always feels safer about Tom Brady. But Rodgers is better.
Boy, it's fascinating. But if you actually do break it down,
it'd be the greatest mix in NFL history to find out, like, what, you know, the unstoppable force versus the immovable object.
Yeah.
The Jets or Tom Brady's career,
right,
where almost everything has worked out spectacularly. Which force overpowers
right
the other?
Did
the Jets' ineptitude and failure or Brady's
greatness
light shining?
Right. As I love the way you put that. Did the Jets finally retire Tom Brady and bring him down to their level? Or does the greatness of the GOAT bring the Jets up to his level?
We know Namath said he would unretire 12 for Rodgers. Would he do it for Brady?
Oh, God. He better. I mean, come on. I would love to see it. He may retire before he goes to the Jets.
How about the Panthers for Brady?
Nah, you think they're that close? They're not even...
Could depend what he thinks about Frank Reich. They have some weapons, and if they have a good offseason, maybe Brady thinks they could be that close.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of it, because again, it really seems like the only possibilities for Brady that make sense.
Niners,
Dolphins, Jets.
You wouldn't throw in the Titans, you said.
I don't think that team is that close with the retooling I think they might have to do.
Yeah.
But you might want to go there for Vrabel, so you could include that.
Henry, the playoff team, AFC South,
Right, wide open division.
Right. I'd probably put them on the list. But I think if it's Brady, he probably has Dolphins and Niners, or in reverse order. Niners, then Dolphins would be the top.
I think if those two teams told him no,
he might retire
before coming to the Jets.
I think you're probably right, unfortunately. 877-337-6666. Fun to talk about, though. And dream about the possibilities. Tom Brady with the Jets. Never happened, but it would be... This town would... You talk about Twitter blowing up? Oh, my God. This place would go nuts. 877-337-6666. It would be nonstop fun all year round with Tom Brady in New York.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Championship is here, and there's no better place to wager on the football title tilt than Superbook Sports. Superbook features the best menu of prop bets in the business. Plus, check out their special odds boosts and promotions at superbook.com. With over three decades of odds-making experience in Las Vegas, there's no place better to wager than Superbook Sports. Win some money as one lucky team wins the championship. Download the Superbook Sports app today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 877-337-6666. Joe is calling from Manalapan. What's up, Joe?
Hi, how you doing?
How are you, Joe?
Great. So first question, I kind of disagree with the whole Tom Brady and the Jets. Like, I do think it's never going to happen. But the Patriots and the Jets are not on the same level at all, that it was such a big rivalry that Tom Brady would never go. It's not like saying David Ortiz going to the Yankees.
Well, what do you mean? Why?
Meaning that since the Patriots were so much better than the Jets, it was never such a big rivalry.
Yeah, but that's not why he wouldn't go. It's because they dominated the Jets. The Jets are a laughingstock compared to his dominant Patriots. I mean, there are many reasons. Belichick didn't want any part of the Jets. And once Woody Johnson took over, which is why he left HC of the NYJ, as you well know. So it's not like they were a hated rival necessarily, but it's not a secret that Belichick has disdain for the Jets and Brady as well.
Right, but who cares? Oh, you think Brady, it's also included Brady?
Well, the Jets, yeah, I do. The Jets also did beat the Patriots in the postseason, if you remember.
I do not. When was that?
Well, when they went to the AFC Championship.
How many years ago was that?
2009, 2010. Which year was it, Fleegs, that they beat him? 2010 season. Jeff Lee. January 2011.
Do not remember that, but
The first time they beat the Chargers, the Bengals, Chargers, Colts, and then it was they had a bye the next time, or no? What was it?
Second time they beat the Colts on Saturday night, Nick Folk had the game-winning field goal.
That was the first game.
January 16th, 2011.
So they beat the Colts and then the Patriots.
Correct.
And then
they beat Manning and Brady.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sanchez beat Manning and Brady. Right. Didn't he make a big play to Braylon Edwards in that Colts game down the sideline?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one. Anyway, so yeah, they beat him in the postseason. That was their one, with Rex Ryan. That was their one with Sean Green running it down the sideline to clinch that game. You don't remember that one? Joe?
I do not, but thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to give a shout-out quickly to a super fan, if you don't mind, of Rummy Wilner and his luscious hair.
There you go.
Well, he's a super fan, so
we appreciate
give him
it.
A quick shout-out.
Yeah, there you go, Joe. Thank you for the call. But it has nothing to do with the rivalry, necessarily. It just has to do with Brady's great success with New England. Why come to the Jets? It is complete opposite ends of the spectrum. Man, those are some fun runs. I love when the Jets get into the postseason. I remember working here on the board the night that, I want to say it was 2005, Herm Edwards, they were missing field goals in San Diego. I guess that was the 2005 season. Anyway, the playoff runs for the Jets, 2009, 2010. I remember thinking there was no way they were going to beat the Chargers. Matter of fact, I think I was doing the picks with Francesa and said the Sal special pick, I doubled the line, whatever it was at the time. I was like, I'll lay 14. There's no way the Chargers are losing the Jets. Meanwhile, the Jets go beat them. Remarkable. That was an incredible run. But either way, and then obviously the win against the Patriots, just one of the great wins in the franchise history. Russell is calling from West Islip. What's up, Russell?
Hi, Sal. How are you?
How are you, Russell?
So what I wanted to say is that I think it would be really cool if Rodgers went to the Jets and Brady went to the 49ers and they met in the Super Bowl. Like, how epic would that be?
Look, I think any Super Bowl in which the Jets take place in would be epic, at least for our purposes. And yeah, why not? Jets versus Brady in the Super Bowl? Sign me up right now for that one.
Cool. Love your show, man.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, look, we could think of these hypotheticals. That could be a reality. Now, again, let's not get carried away. It's fun dreaming about these scenarios. I do think that Rodgers to the Jets is realistic. I think it's actually going to happen, but let's just say that, I don't have any inside info or anything like that. I just think it's going to happen when you actually do the math and look into it. Either that or he's going to retire. And Brady to, or I guess I should say Miami. If Miami comes in, I think that could change things. Brady to San Fran is also realistic. And if that happens, I mean, you could see the 49ers easily in the Super Bowl. They could have been in the Super Bowl without him this year. So you had Tom Brady instead of Brock Purdy, or an injured Brock Purdy, you're, obviously in great shape. The Jets with Rodgers become legitimate. It's not like all of a sudden they're going to be Super Bowl favorites, the way the Mets would have been World Series favorites had they gotten Carlos Correa, right? You look at the odds or whatever it was with Correa, it's a little different. It's a different feel. The expectations with Correa or that, okay, well, now they're all in, World Series or bust. And now without Correa, it's back to, okay, well, they're one of, four or five, maybe six teams that could win the whole thing. With the Jets, they're not in the Super Bowl conversation at the moment. With Aaron Rodgers, they become one of X amount of teams that can actually get to and win a Super Bowl. And I know the NFL year to year, you never know. There's going to be teams that come out of nowhere the way the Bengals did a year ago. Maybe the way the Giants did this year. So you'll see some teams that surprise people. But the Jets with Rodgers are in the conversation. And nobody would ever, at least at this point, pick anybody other than Burrow or Mahomes. Maybe you want to get frisky, you go with Josh Allen. Think about how the Bills' star has fallen, where they are just forgotten now. They were the team everybody was on this year. Buffalo, this is their year. They're going to get to and win a Super Bowl. And obviously it didn't work out like that. And now people are talking about how their window might be closed. You look at the emergence of Joe Burrow and the Bengals. They look like they're a mainstay. Obviously the Chiefs, seems like they're here every year. Chiefs doing what the Patriots used to do. But even with Burrow and Mahomes and Allen and Herbert, the Jets have a shot. They need Rodgers. Without him, they don't. And that's why I wouldn't go all in on Derek Carr or anybody else. I think that Derek Carr puts the Jets in the postseason conversation, which they might be in anyway, or at least close to it. But Aaron Rodgers or even Tom Brady takes them into the Super Bowl contender conversation. Crazy to think that one player could make that much of a difference, but it does in this case. Jets have done a nice job building themselves up around the quarterback position. That's the one thing that's clearly lacking and not up to par with the other areas of the team. And if you can exceed the other areas of the team with the quarterback play, which would be the case with Aaron Rodgers, now you're in that conversation. Look, Burrow, Mahomes, going to be difficult to beat. Even Josh Allen. Nobody's saying it would happen, but the Jets would be on the map and in the conversation with the addition of Aaron Rodgers. It has to happen.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It's their 27th World Championship. The most of any team in any sport in the history of professional sports.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Sal Licata back on The Fan. So Sean Payton is back, as he will be the head coach of the Denver Broncos next year. I don't get this one. I mean, look, I get money is money, but Payton talks about the Broncos' history and it being a good football town. Yeah, sure, but, I mean, they're a bit of a mess with Russell Wilson as the quarterback, and maybe Payton views Russell Wilson the way that we, or at least the majority of us did, prior to this season for the Denver Broncos, where obviously it was a total flop with Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson together, and they could never get on the same page. But the Broncos give up two picks, a first-round pick and a second-round pick, and they get Payton back, and they do get a third-round pick. So they give up a first and a second and get Payton and a third-rounder back, which is crazy to think. I know it's happened before. I forget if it was on Twitter or somewhere I saw before that somebody posted about all-time trades with head coaches, and of course the Jets have been heavily involved in that with Parcells, with Bill Belichick, but always weird when you're trading top picks for a coach. And I do think it's worth it in certain circumstances where you want to get a legitimate Super Bowl winning, no doubt about it, head coach. And the Broncos are getting that. This is no more, you know, they've made some bad hires in recent years, firing guys after a year, after 2 years, whatever it may be. Hiring Payton is a home run hire, but I just don't get it from Peyton's perspective how this could be the best spot. Denver? I mean, wouldn't you just be better off waiting one more year and maybe Mike McCarthy getting canned and you could have gone from there? But either way, I'd be curious to see what Payton could do with Russell Wilson, assuming that Russell Wilson is not going anywhere, because who the hell would trade it for him at this point? He's got to be their guy, and that's going to be Payton's job to repair what was one of the worst offenses in the NFL a year ago. And not to mention that he goes into the AFC West. Forget about even Herbert or whatever the, you know, Raiders might be doing. You're talking about Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid. It's like the battle for second right off the bat. 877-337-6666. Nice to see DeMeco Ryans go back to Houston, too, talking about his dream job becoming the head coach of the Texans. And that obviously led the Broncos. The Broncos wanted Ryans. That led them to Sean Payton, but they didn't maybe want to give up the picks. Either way, they circle back to Payton, give up the picks. They get their guy, and DeMeco Ryans goes to the Texans and will be their head coach. I mean, I love that. We remember the player with that particular team, and now he's going to be the head coach of that team. Pretty cool. And well-deserved opportunity as well for Ryans. 877-337-6666. Lewis, calling from Somerset, New Jersey. Good morning, Lewis. How are you?
Good morning, my brother Sal. How's everything?
Yeah, not bad, Lewis. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Sal, man, I almost had that perfect parlay, man. I only got two out of the four.
Oh, yeah, well, that doesn't count, Lewis.
No, I know it doesn't count. But you know,
you had,
quick, right?
Let's see, I have it written down here. You had the Eagles and the under, and then you had the Bengals and the over.
Exactly. And When I saw that Bengals game, like, everybody kind of, you know, was blaming the linebacker that made that hit at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm not even going to say it was a bonehead play because, you know, it was just like the heat of the moment going, you know, so the way they're killing this kid, man, it was horrible. But I'm going to tell you something though, man. That punt, there was two clear illegal hands to the, illegal blocks. They didn't call those. And then when Mahomes ran out of the pocket that he ran for that first down, there was a hold right in front of the ref. But you know what? In football, there's a hold every single play.
Yeah, exactly. You have to call it. Yeah, you can call it every play. It sounds like you picked the Bengals.
I did pick the Bengals because just like T-Max, right? I fell in love with what's his name?
Burrow.
I fell in love with Burrow. So what I was going to talk to you, because I've never talked basketball, right, with you, and I'm a huge Knicks fan, and I'm okay with the evolution of the game, right? I mean, I've told you, you know, we're in the same age bracket. I'm 45. So it's like I grew up, you know, in the 90s. I grew up with, you know, the 80-point basketball games and stuff. And I'm okay with the evolution, especially watching these big men, the way they shoot the ball and stuff. But one thing that just drives me crazy, and today my wife was looking at me like, what's wrong with you? Because I was just yelling at the TV. Randall dribbling the ball.
Oh, God.
Like, my goodness, we got a point guard. Can you let the point guard dribble and make the plays?
Julius Randle should never bring the ball up again, period. Never bring the ball. It should never be in his hands in the final possession unless Brunson gives it to him after Brunson draws the double team or draws the defender. No way should Randle be creating a final possession. No way should Randle be creating any offense, as a matter of fact. There's no need for it now.
No, at all. And he had two costly turnovers at the end of the game. That it was for him trying to handle the ball. Why did we go get Brunson? Because we needed a point guard. So let the point guard be a point guard. And you play your game, play off of that. But he has to stop with this dribbling the ball, man.
If I'm the Knicks, I would look to trade Julius Randle, and I'd look to move RJ Barrett if I could. I don't think those two guys are good enough. I'd rather trade those two guys if they could and bottom out. You'd have Brunson. He's your lead guy. Hope to make some of the younger guys better. Quentin Grimes, Obi Toppin, utilize him a little bit more. Emmanuel Quickley. Because to me, Randle, you mentioned it. Like, he's been playing like an all-star at times. Too inconsistent, too sloppy in big moments. He's just not the guy to get them over the hump. And RJ Barrett, same thing. Maybe not the same weaknesses, but his weakness is just shooting the basketball.
Exactly. And you know what? With Randle, because he's playing at an all-star level this year, you have some trade value for him, right? Because, you know, it's like...
Well, this is now the second year. Two of the last 3 years, he's played like an all-star.
Exactly. So it's like, listen, trade him because he's you've paid him so much, but he's not the piece that you need. But I'll leave you with that, Sal, man. It's always good hearing you, man. So you have a good one, my brother.
All right, Lewis, you too. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking the time to call. We appreciate it. Perfect parlay only counts, Lewis, if you get all the picks right. You could have just stuck with two. You could have did the Eagles and the under. You did not. You wanted to swing for the fences like Marco, and you came up empty. I, on the other hand, did not. I went with the two-team perfect parlay and hit Chiefs and the Eagles. That's how it works. But no, with the Knicks, it is frustrating watching Julius Randle continue to handle the ball. Like, that should never happen again. They have Brunson. That's what you got him here for, specifically at that point in the game. A final possession. Why would Julius Randle be taking the ball and trying to be the hero and taking on the double team? No. This is not 2 years ago when the Knicks didn't have any options and Randle was the only option for them. And he was having success playing on the ball. Now, there were definitely limitations, but he was still having success with being on the ball. We thought the idea of bringing in an actual point guard would help alleviate some of the pressure from Randle. Also, maybe limit some of the mistakes if he's not carrying the ball up the floor every time. Maybe you could limit some of the turnovers, have a point guard put him in a position to succeed. Didn't work out like that with Kemba Walker for, you know, other reasons. It was a disastrous season for Julius Randle as well as for the Knicks and others. But when you now have Brunson, he's got to be the guy in those spots. Every inbound, every final possession, the ball should be in Jalen Brunson's hand. Not only is he a very skilled point guard, he also can create his own shot. And that's a great option to where you know he's a guy who will be able to get others involved. If Randle is open or whoever may be open in the final possession, he'll find him. If not, he could create it on his own. Where with Randle, that is not the case. So it was frustrating to what was an otherwise entertaining game. You had a little bit of everything. Knicks playing well for the most part. LeBron going off for a triple-double. And, you know, you had star power there. The Garden crowd was insane. The energy was insane. But yet again, it had the same old predictable ending, which is the Knicks and their fans going home upset because the Knicks couldn't close out a game. It's getting tired, isn't it? And it doesn't matter who's there. Melo, Brunson, Randle, Stoudemire, whatever decent players that this franchise has had over the last several years. They just can't close games out. And, you know, that to me is also an issue with the head coach. I did not hear what Tibbs had to say afterward. I thought I saw somewhere on Twitter where somebody was saying, you know, Brunson's got to have the ball in his hands. But I don't know if it was designed for Randle or not. And I know Tibbs does trust Randle to have the ball in those spots. But, man, it just can't happen. And the Knicks, as bad as they are, they still take the best punch, generally, that others have to offer. The Lakers, who basically took the night off before with LeBron and AD being no-goes for maintenance or whatever the hell it is that they were doing. Then, of course, back in there the night after to face the Knicks at the world's most famous arena. And LeBron has his first triple-double of the season. Of course he does. Marco, what'd you think of these uniforms for the Knicks last night in that court?
This black is an and abomination.
Orange. You know, I was saying before, it's one thing if you want to do that crap against the Pelicans. You can't do it against the Lakers.
One, they wear these black uniforms way too often. It's almost like that's their home uniform, which is an atrocity. Wear the whites and move on.
Right.
And on top of it, you play the Lakers once at home. The Lakers got white on with whatever, that blue, powder blue. Yeah. I don't even know who. If you just turn on the TV, I don't know who the two teams are.
Nor would I know where they're playing.
That's awful.
And I've watched basketball at the Garden my entire life.
It's awful. It's getting more and more every night, but there are certain things like the Celtics, the Knicks, the Lakers, like when they play each other, I'm sorry, just go back to the standard. There should be a gold standard. Everything else, you like you said, you want to mess around with like the Jazz and the Pelicans on certain nights here and there.
I get it.
You're trying
me.
To make money. Right, I get it. I'll live with it. Not this.
Now,
not
I wonder this. If they do it because it's a TNT game.
Exactly.
So you have, so it's a national eyeballs. Game, more eyeballs on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but come on.
So that you can sell these alternate.
Look at this shot. Like we're watching the replay of the game right now on TNT. Look at that. You tell me. It looks like San Antonio. You think that looks like the Garden?
It bothers me.
The
more
black
than it should.
Paint?
The black at home makes me nuts. And the way that the fact that they did the logo in the center of the court, I mean, the paint, it's awful. These uniforms are awful.
They look like pumpkins with the black and orange. Like, what are we doing here? It's not Halloween. It's Madison Square Garden.
I don't like the dark jerseys at home regardless. Put the whites on
even
and move on.
Even if it's blue.
Right. I'd rather the whites on. But, like, I can live with at least the, to me, it's the road blues. But whatever. I guess I could suffer through that. This is a disaster. And then the Lakers on top of it. I don't know if that's the Lakers.
I love the way that you say it. If you're just flipping this game on, you have no idea who's playing or where they are playing. That should not be the case. And you're right. There should never be an excuse. Well, the alternates, I guess, have to get worn at home because you're trying to sell them to your home crowd. But wear them, I mean, randomly and sporadically throughout the course. You spread it out, but not for a big game. Both these teams, the Lakers should be in purple or gold, and the Knicks should be in white, at the very least blue.
Well, I mean, but again, do you really need to wear them that often to sell the alternates?
I don't know. People love
don't,
it.
Yeah, but don't people like the alternates because they like the way it looks, not because the team wears
well,
it?
Well, how are they going to see it, though? Well, you know, if they see them wearing it.
I don't know. Isn't that more of a fashion thing than it is than they all like the alternate uniform?
But why does the NBA do it? They do it all the time with all these games. I don't know who's playing who, where they're playing it. It's one thing to not be able to pick out the Knicks. It happens all the time.
I can't tell you how many times that we put on, you know, the game's TNT, whatever it is, wherever the game's on.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it takes me 5 minutes to try to figure out. If the bug's not in the corner where I see the score, I have no idea who they are. And then worse, when I see the bug and I go, all right, which one's which?
Yeah, right?
And then it's like, well, what the hell am I? Like, I honestly don't know. And, I mean, we've been doing this our whole lives. We've been watching games our whole lives. We have no idea who anybody
is. I hate it. I'll never get used to, although I've started to get used to the Rangers wearing blue at home.
I still don't like that. I mean, neither.
Well, because we grew up.
Right.
They went back.
I know.
To the way that it was before us, but we grew up, the Rangers were wearing white at home.
I know.
I mean, they celebrated the Cup win in 94 with the white at home, so I hate the blue at home. But now I've actually gotten used to it. Have you gotten used to it yet?
No.
It's been so long.
It has been a long time, and no, I'm not used to it, but I understand it because at least, again, like you said, they were going back to the old way. So, like, I get that.
So when are we going to go? It's cyclical, right? When are we going to go back now to the old way in the NBA to where they honor the 90s by wearing the white jerseys at home?
But they always wore the white at home. Like, that wasn't just the 90s. They always did.
Yeah, right. Until what? 5 years ago, maybe? Maybe less?
Less, I feel like.
I don't know. I feel like they just changed it up. By the way, there is no rhyme. At least with hockey, they wear blue now, or they wear the colors now at home.
Right.
Like, it's a clear rule. We're going to the colored jerseys at home, white jerseys on the road. With the NBA, could you tell me what the rule is?
I don't think there is, but I don't know.
All over the place.
Does there need to be
It's like a video game where you pick your jersey before the game. It's totally random.
But in the NFL, you get to pick whatever you want, too. So, like, I can't argue that.
You
it's
do?
Just, yeah, you can wear whatever you want. You get to pick the home team.
Don't you have to? What, in the NFL?
No, you just got to let them know.
And I think the NBA, now they do that on we don't know about it, but they choose them in advance. Part of the problem is, too, they're trying to obviously sell all these jerseys. Have you seen anybody walking around with either of these Knicks, what they call them, the City Edition, whatever they are?
It's so stupid.
The jerseys from this year or last year with the dumb logo on last year.
With the circle one? No, the circle one's awful blue.
I haven't seen anybody wearing these. In the Garden, outside of the Garden, nobody likes these. Knicks fans don't like these.
It's not a terrible-looking jersey.
But you know what's great and everybody loves? The Knicks' regular jerseys, the white and the blue. Everybody's a fan. Wear those. Maybe there are other teams that need alternates, or we all like throwbacks.
These Lakers
No Knicks fans
too.
Want this new stuff.
Lakers, the white Lakers.
Oh, it's brutal.
The Lakers
white
have
with
one of the most
blue?
Classic looks in the world.
And that's what I want to watch. If
it's
I'm
like
watching
we say
Knicks
forever,
Lakers.
All these baseball teams that are doing all this stuff, you cannot mess with the Yankees uniforms.
This is why the sports world is kicking us in the you-know-what, the real sports fan, because this is not for us.
No.
I want to watch the Knicks in their white jersey take on the Lakers in their purple or gold, whatever the hell they want to wear here. Purple jersey, fine on the road. That's what I want to watch. It brings me back. It makes me nostalgic, the history of the rivalry with the Knicks and Lakers. This is not for you and I.
Teams do it in the playoffs now, too. In a seven-game series, they'll wear six different uniforms.
Yeah. No, but I hate to tell you, like all sports in general, you hit it. They're not for us. You know why? Because we're suckers and we're watching it regardless.
We're there regardless, right? So
they're looking for the casual fan to see if they can get an extra eyeball, because they know once they have you, they don't worry about you because you're not going anywhere.
Are we sure the NFL doesn't have the standard? Now, I know they could change it up, but I thought that the home teams wear the color jersey like the NHL.
No, Cowboys have always worn white at home.
Cowboys forget because
the Jets have now kind of more switched to white at home because
Washington,
I think they realize everybody hates their new green one.
Yeah, Washington usually wears white at home. They've switched up in the last few years, but they used to always wear white. Yeah, you could do whatever you want. You just got to let them know in advance. The NFL, you get
the NFL,
stick to
like,
the blue.
They
home,
now have it, I think, before the season. Like, this is what every team is wearing for every game.
I know they have to do that for the throwbacks.
You
like,
designate
when the Giants,
your throwbacks, The NFL sorts it all out in advance, but you can, I guess, if you're the home team, you can do kind of whatever you want. If you're the road team, you just have to follow the
home team. Right, you follow suit.
It should just be simple. You want to wear the alternates whenever, on occasion, either home or away. Maybe you have a game at home, a game on the road that you wear them, fine. But it should be standard at home for the basketball, white jerseys, on the road, colored jerseys. End of story. Otherwise, it drives me nuts. And especially with an original matchup like that, or an old school matchup like Knicks and Lakers.